Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. Financial planning can be overwhelming, regardless of market conditions. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning and tax minimization strategies. Protect your family and future generations without sacrificing our shared principles of hard work and American independence. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Kim Bondi, everybody's loving this pick by President Trump, which is good because she's got to sail through, baby. That's right. She's got to sail through and no nonsense and no deep state swamp creatures stopping it. That's what we got to get. It's Friday. Happy Friday. Welcome to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And it looks like stocks are doing great right now. The stocks have extended their gains as Trump now is ready to take over soon. But are we on the precipice of World War III? What's going on with Russia and Ukraine? A hypersonic missile launched by Russia into Ukraine. Is President Trump working back-channel negotiations with Vladimir Putin? That's what we have to wonder. And then, of course, will that be the subject of the next impeachment by the Democrats if they try to go after Trump, saying that he talk to the enemy or something before he was president, like they did with Michael Flynn last time. We'll find out. Don't worry. But the one thing I will tell you on this beautiful Friday, after Dave McCormick has officially again been announced and recognized as the United States Senator for Pennsylvania, our buddy Linda Kearns sent me a note and she said, I got a huge win at Commonwealth Court. The PA Dems have these awful voter protection badges in polling places. We talked about that on election night. I brought it to a Philly judge on election day, and she found for the Democrats, of course. I appealed her, and the Commonwealth Court reversed it. I am thrilled. Huge win for election integrity. Congratulations to Linda Kearns. Good fight on that. Yeah, because that was, I mean, I had so many people call that day and say they had these people with these badges on, and you're not supposed to do that. That was absolutely a violation of election law. It's the kind of stuff that happens in Philadelphia. Bad things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things. That was a bad thing. And good job by Linda Kearns getting that opinion reversed so the court will say you can't walk around with badges, okay? You don't need no stinking badges. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Make your appointment today. I want to begin the show with a clip. I had this yesterday. I didn't get a chance to play it. We are streaming live on YouTube. However, we are not going to be able to stream our clips just yet. You'll just have to do the audio. But you can chat along and say hello and watch the show on YouTube however you like to do it. Or just listen old school. Whatever you want to do. Or listen and watch. It's up to you. I don't want to tell you what to do on a Friday. It's up to you. We've had a long week. Thanksgiving week is next week. Amazing. But let's think about the Department of Justice. So Byron Donalds put out a great video explaining just how Merrick Garland's Department of Justice has been weaponized against the American people. And I think this is spot on in every single way, spot on. This Department of Justice under Merrick Garland is the closest thing we have to the Stasi. I don't like to make Nazi comparisons, but the Stasi was the East German secret police under the Soviets when they ran East Germany. And they would intimidate their citizens. It was a police state. You couldn't leave. You couldn't talk to people. You couldn't associate with people. The government intimidated you. And what they would do is they would pick people and they would hold them as examples. So a great example is Mark Houck, right? A guy, you know, he's outside an abortion clinic praying, and the federal government comes and raids his house and pulls him out, arrests him, tries to make him sign a plea deal, which he would go to prison. The idea is that you selectively target certain citizens. You throw the book at them. And Mark Houck fought it and won, thank God. But you do that, and then enough people become intimidated, they don't want the secret police coming to their door. Only our secret police is not so secret. It's pretty blatant, our police, the people that are in charge. It's no joke. Anyway, here's Byron Donalds. He put up this video. I think it's excellent. Cut number 12.
Under Merrick Garland, the Department of Justice was going after parents who were simply trying to raise their voices and petition their government about schools, and they were calling them domestic terrorists. Under Merrick Garland, you had a Department of Justice that was weaponized against their political rival in Donald Trump and many others, Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon, and others as well. So what we're looking for, and I think what the country is looking for, is an attorney general and other cabinet members who are going to uphold the law, not be a respecter of persons or politics, and make sure that our institutions are doing the job that they have been enshrined to do by Congress and signed into law by President.
There you go. It's exactly right. The biggest thing for me was when the Department of Justice went after moms, right? Remember that? When they went after moms at school board meetings and said, you might be a domestic violent extremist? That, to me, was one of the most egregious things that ever occurred. It was outrageous what happened. But that's this Department of Justice. That's what they do. And it needs to stop. Pam Bondi will rein that in. Pam Bondi will rein that in. And I think that is going to be the best start of this. When you look at everything Donald Trump is doing, the irony of this, of course, is that people said he was a fascist. Fascists love to consolidate federal power, strong federal power. That's literally the definition of fascism. Donald Trump is appointing people who are going to return power to the people. Let's think about Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Let's think about that for just a moment. If they're able to accomplish this, it will be the Manhattan Project of our time. That's what they've set out to do. If you think about what Pam Bondi can do by reversing the weaponization of our Department of Justice, if you think about what Tulsi Gabbard can do by getting the intelligence community to stop spying on the American people, if you think about all these things, it's a very big fundamental change. Something that is so powerful, in fact, that it could forever change the trajectory of our government. Now, if we fail at this, if we're not successful, and the deep state wins, the federal Leviathan wins, then we've got a problem, because now they will consolidate their power within the ranks of the bureaucracy even more. No question about it. This is our chance now to do it. I feel good about it. I mean, I feel good about the prospects. I really do. I feel good about the prospects. And I also think, too, that there's going to be a lot more disruption coming out in the next couple of weeks, in the next couple of months. And it's going to, when it finally goes, when Trump finally gets in there as president, day one, they're going to start. I mean, day number one. It's going to be great. Now, the police report on Pete Hegseth vindicates him. Pete Hegseth, they came after him next. That's the next scalp they wanted, right? They got Matt Gaetz. They wanted Hegseth. They wanted what they want to do. Want to just go after Trump's nominees. Piece over at TheFederalist.com about this by Eddie Scarry. The police report about Pete Hegseth's alleged sexual assault vindicates him of criminality. All the evidence indicates that Pete was pursued by a married woman who then regretted her decision to have an affair. What you're going to hear now and in the coming days from the national media is that there are graphic details in a police report related to an alleged sexual assault involving Pete Hegseth, President Donald Trump's incoming nominee for defense secretary. It's certainly graphic, but the media will bet you won't bother reading the report, which in reality looks really bad for the alleged victim and effectively clears Hegseth of criminality. It's a 22-page report. Details an incident from 7 years ago when in 2017, Hegseth, then a Fox News celebrity, attended an event for a Republican women's group as a featured speaker. The way the media have relayed the event so far is that a woman in attendance has accused Hegseth of drugging her at an after party before raping her in his hotel room. Outside of the alleged victim's admittedly incomplete recollection, none of the testimony or evidence included in the police report supports that claim. None of it. In truth, all of it indicates that the accuser lied to her husband who was in her hotel room while she gallivanted at night with Hegseth and other attendees before voluntarily joining him in his room to have consensual sex. Sorry. That was the name of my Fleetwood Mac cover band in college. Obviously, we were huge at Bentley's. So big time, obviously. John Brown passed away, the owner of Bentley's forever. That's a damn shame. College Park legend. The report's events took place in early October 2017. It includes multiple eyewitness testimonies and text message evidence of what took place before and after the alleged assault. The alleged victim is identified only as Jane Doe after a night of moderate drinking, during which Doe says she at some point felt she may have been surreptitiously drugged. She said she remembered a few details, but then she recalled inexplicably finding herself in Pete's hotel room, that he proceeded to blank on her body, and that she thereafter went to her own room to join an unnamed person in bed. Text messages she shared with police indicate the person was her husband and that there were other parties in the room, likely children. Basically, the bottom line is this. The woman had an affair. The woman tried to cover it up. The woman got in trouble. And so she said, I was drugged. I had nothing to do with it. It wasn't me. Blah, blah, blah. The rest of the report is an overwhelming refutation of that version of events, including text exchanges with her husband, wherein she reportedly mentions Hegseth, but omits that she was spending time with him at the after parties, testimonies from other women in attendance who said the woman never appeared overserved and, in fact, seemed completely coherent throughout surveillance video footage that showed the two of them walking around with locked arms, and a hotel staff member who recalled engaging both the woman and Pete Hegseth by the pool, at which time Hegseth was belligerent and Doe guided Hegseth away from the conflict. This is a classic case of, and then it all went away. You know, it all went away after this was done. The woman was paid. A settlement occurred. The drama went away. Like a lot of people who are rich in the public eye, he just wanted it to end. And that was the end of it. Paid the woman a settlement fee at the time to make the drama go away. But what it doesn't, what the police report does not do, is in any way, shape, or form suggest that Pete Hegseth is guilty of sexual assault. It vindicates him, as a matter of fact. It vindicates him. But it's a lesson here in the sense that there's always, they always have something on everybody, and when they want to use it, they will. My opinion is that probably with Pete Hegseth, they thought, okay, we'll use this to be our impetus to try to get him to play nice. If he plays nice, then this will all go away. But I think he's strong enough and he didn't do anything wrong. And whenever there's a settlement and somebody goes away and there's hush money involved. And by the way, speaking of New York, Trump has been granted permission to seek dismissal of the New York hush money case with Stormy Daniels. That's good. Good riddance to that. But whenever this stuff occurs, you know, whenever this stuff occurs, it is always about trying to intimidate Republicans into submission, into saying we don't want to stand with this person. The same thing with Brett Kavanaugh. Same exact thing. They were hoping that Trump would have abandoned Kavanaugh and walked away. So why is Matt Gaetz different? Matt Gaetz told Charlie Kirk he didn't do anything wrong. In fact, he told Charlie Kirk that if the allegations were true, he'd be in prison. Why is it different than with Matt Gaetz? Why wasn't he able to survive the scrutiny and say Pete Hegseth was? Or is? The difference is that there are four Republican senators who have made it their point to say that they're going to stop Matt Gaetz come hell or high water, no matter what. It's different with Pete Hegseth. Those four have not put down the sword of Damocles on him. That's the difference. And these four Republican senators, McConnell, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and then this new guy from Utah, this guy, Curtis, they were hard-nosed. And there may have been other hard nosed too, but they're the four to watch going forward. No doubt about it. They're the four to watch going forward. But they're also ready to take two other scalps, and that's Tulsi Gabbard and Robert F. Kennedy. I don't think they want to waste a scalp on Pete Hegseth. They're not happy about Pete Hegseth because the swamp wants somebody from the Pentagon, but they're not going to waste a scalp on him because they'll probably lose. And it will reflect very, very badly on them. So they're going to save their scalps for Tulsi and RFK, which is a damn shame because both of them are incredibly qualified to do what they're going to do. But the truth is that these people are very reluctant about giving Trump the ability to be the disruptor that he wants to be. because these are the this is the old guard of the Republican Party, and they don't want to see the kind of fundamental changes Trump is set to do. Now, for all of us watching this, we're all rooting for the guy. The American people are rooting for the guy. But the people that are not rooting for the guy are all the people that live in Washington and that whole area who make lots and lots of buku bucks off of being the swamp creatures. You know, we talk about the swamp, but it sounds like this place that is murky and dirty and dark. It's actually lovely, except in the summer. It's a little bit humid. But no, it's lovely. There's great restaurants, great bars. All the tourist attractions are there and very wealthy homes. Oh, my gosh. Montgomery County, Bethesda. You know, Arlington, and what's the other, the big, Alexandria, Virginia. Yes, beautiful, beautiful places. Places everybody would love to live. They're great. Homes overlooking the Potomac River. Gorgeous. You can live in the northwest of Washington. You can live right over the border in Chevy Chase, Maryland. No relation to Chevy Chase. But you understand, though, that these are very expensive places. All the people that are able to afford such a lavish lifestyle are not working as bureaucrats in government. That's the other part of the deep state. That's the people who wind up getting rich off contracts, very lucrative contracts. You know, somebody said to me recently, they said, if you got an in with the Trump administration, you'd probably get 50 grand a month to be a lobbyist. 50 grand a month. First of all, I hate lobbying so much, I would never want to do that. That sounds terrible to me. But that's what I'm talking about. It's that. So now the lobbyists, the lawyers, the people in the big food and big pharma and the defense industrial complex and all these other people have these big, beautiful homes. And they also have vacation homes, too. Annapolis, Maryland, my favorite town. I love Annapolis. I'd love to have a house there one day. I can't afford it, but they can. And they have homes there. Homes along the Chesapeake Bay. Beautiful, beautiful homes. Weekend getaways. You know what I mean? On the Western Shore, of course, not the Eastern Shore, because that's a little bit, that's where the low rent people go, if you understand. That's where I go. I go to the Eastern Shore. I go to Rock Hall, Maryland. We love it there. It's fun. It's a great little weekend getaway. You see a lot of boats in the marina there from Philly and Jersey, by the way. A lot of them. Pennsylvania, all kinds. Actually, up and down our whole region. Boats there. I think a lot of the Zioli Navy likes to go there. These people who make a lot of money in Washington are very reluctant about transferring their power away. And that's going to be the battle. And they have spent a lifetime lining the pockets of elected officials, giving them campaign cash, and having these elected officials at their beck and call. That's going to be the battle. That's the battle going forward. The biggest problem for Donald Trump is not going to be the Democrat Party. It's going to be his own party. It's going to be the Republican Party. It's going to be four Republican senators, a handful of Republicans in the House, who do not want to see the system change. They have benefited tremendously from the system, and they'll benefit from the system when they're ready to walk away from power. They've made money. They have unlimited amounts of campaign cash at their disposal, and they can snap their fingers and get more campaign funds in an instant. And when they're ready to give it all up and join a board of a corporation or be of counsel to some law firm or some lobbying firm or something like that and make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just for their name, they do not want to see this system overturned. Would you? Would you? Of course not. I mean, maybe you would because you're an ethical, honest person, but you probably wouldn't be in that position in the first place. That's my point. I'm not saying they're all bad people. I'm just saying that that's their lifestyle. That's what they've been accustomed to. And so these politicians who are going to fight Trump on this are going to be members of the Republican Party who don't want to see this change because it's benefited them tremendously, and it's going to benefit them when they're ready to finally walk away from the United States Capitol building. And they'll be called a senator, congressman for life, but they'll make even more money than they're somehow making now. So that's going to be the battle. And I do think this is going to be the battle of our lifetime. I mean, not to sound cheesy, but to quote Captain America and Avengers Endgame, you know, this is the fight of our lives. It really is. If we're victorious here, it'll be a fundamental change, the likes of which we have not seen, honestly, since the federal government was expanded in the first place under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. If we're able to pull this off, it'll be that big of a change. So think about it from that perspective. Think about the perspective of all the swamp creatures who love their steak dinners and their bottles of Chablis. I don't know if they... Bordeaux. Maybe not Bordeaux. Cabernet, whatever it is. Who cares? All I know is this. there's a lot of money at stake, which is why the Ukraine situation confounds me. And I'm glad Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us later today, because it seems as if that the military industrial complex is doing everything they possibly can, everything they possibly can, to put this situation into such turmoil before Donald Trump is ready to take office that it becomes something we can't walk away from. And it scares me because nuclear war is no fun. I mean, I've only seen it in the movies, but it doesn't look pretty. And I'm not suggesting that we're going to get there. All I'm simply saying is it's very obvious that, at least from the public perspective of what we're watching right now, we're watching this conflict intensify before the man who wants to end the conflict is able to come in and take the oath of office and have the national command authority to do so. We're watching all this intensify as this occurs. And I don't know, maybe they went to Pete Hegseth and they said to him, look, we can make this story go away. We can make this police report story sound not bad, but we just got to know, are you going to cooperate with us? That's the determining factor. That's the determining factor about whether they get their way or not. Will you play ball? Will you play ball and be nice? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. It is a Friday, and we got a busy show for you today. Dr. Wilfred Riley is going to be here. John Stossel was talking about Wilfred Riley. That's right. Very, very cool stuff. He's a big deal, so he's going to be joining us as well. And big news out of Philadelphia, where our buddy Linda Kearns had a big victory. So lots to come on a Friday afternoon. What a week it's been. Thanksgiving's next week. Hard to believe, right? Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April.
Are you playing this song in May?
But I very much am.
I'm gonna change that tune.
I'm sorry to hear that.
When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem.
Justin had a little car trouble, but he's okay. Most important thing is you're safe and sound. And if you need a guy, I got a guy. It's all I'm gonna say. But you said you got a guy, you're good?
Yeah, I got a guy. I appreciate the offer, though.
All right. The Jersey way. You know what I mean? The Philly way. Got a guy. So, all right. Well, we made it. Everything's good. It's Friday, and we're almost done with this friggin' week. And then next week is going to be a hoot. Monday, so I'm very excited about this. Here's how Monday's show is going to work. This is great. This is old school Zeoli show style. All right? This is how we're going to do this, Zeoli Army. Old school. We're going to come on the air at 3 o'clock. And then we're going to get bumped for basketball at 3:30, okay? And then we're going to be back on the air after the Penn State game, which we estimate could be around 5:30, Justin. Is that right?
Yeah, the early estimates are about 5:30, 5:45.
5:30, 5:45, and go till 7. Now, I am crushed by this, as you know. As you can imagine, this is tough on me. But the worst part is, if Penn State wins on Monday, we'll repeat that exact schedule on Tuesday. And then I'm off on Wednesday, although I'm filling in for Jimmy Fallon on Wednesday. But then I'm off on... So next week could be a total of talking for 28, 27 minutes, like that. So it could be good. Could be fun. I'm not happy about it, but that's the way it goes. Bump for women's sports again. Women's highlight. Well, this is Penn State basketball, but still, same thing. And I know Matt DeSantis is crushed by this. You're going to be okay, Matt? You're going to be all right? You're going to be able to deal with this, you think?
Sorry. Please don't put me on the air right now. I'm crying. There's tears trickling down my cheeks, and I just need a minute to compose myself.
I know. It's that difficult, right? It's that tough.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, my camera's
I'm trying to be strong.
I know. You can do it. I believe in you. I believe in you. We're going to get through this.
I believe in Penn State basketball. I hope they get that win.
Me too. I'm going to put a lot of money on that game. No, I will. I'll be a jinx. I'll jinx it. So
bet on the other team.
Yeah, no. We don't want to do that. That'd be a jinx. Hey, since people are streaming on YouTube, my camera's frozen. I'm having some internet issues here at the Zioli Home Studio. I don't know why, what's going on here. I may have to restart my computer, but we have the ability now to play audio, which is cool, on YouTube, and you can also listen as well. And I don't know if you've been following this whole situation with Jaguar. So I had an opportunity years ago to endorse Jaguar, and I was like, no, I'm not interested in doing that. And then Cherry Hill Volvo came along, and they said, will you sponsor them? I said, absolutely. I love Judith. I love everything they do. There was a host on this station years ago who did endorse Jaguar. I don't remember his name. I think it rhymes with Merkanish. I forget exactly, but Jaguar of the main line, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, Jaguar has gone totally friggin' woke. Their whole thing now is this weird trans campaign that they're doing. I don't exactly understand it. It's very colorful, very flashy. And the whole thing about it is, even Elon Musk retweeted it and said, are you selling cars here? Like, what are you guys doing? What's happening here? It's that bad. Now, Volvo, on the other hand, put out an ad that is beautiful. And everybody's talking about the ad right now, because in the ad, it features a woman who's pregnant. And this guy is thinking all about his life ahead of him. And it's all about how safe their cars is. But the contrast between these two car companies could not be more profound. And I've been paying attention to this in a little bit, because you would think that these brands in this day and age in America would learn the lesson. Like, you would think Jaguar would learn the lesson and not be woke, not go woke, and not turn around and have this guy who's their spokesperson talking about all the Bud Light of who they are. Now, Matt, I know there were two clips with Jaguar. One was the guy, I don't know if you still have it from yesterday, who was discussing all their plans for DEI. Do you still have that one?
Give me a second. I can grab it.
All right, yeah, pull that up. In the meantime, let me play 15 for you. This is, oh no, Jaguar trying to Bud Light itself. Cut 15. So what you're watching is a 30-second spot with a bright yellow elevator opening to reveal half a dozen or so androgynous models dressed in vibrantly colored monochromatic costumes, but not a car in sight. The ad then flashes the models individually, showcasing their dramatic outfits paired with vaucous phrases such as create exuberant, live vivid, delete ordinary, break molds, and copy nothing. So there's not a car in sight, and it's all these androgynous models. And you watch that, and you go, what the hell is this? What am I watching here? So then this went viral on the internet, and everybody started saying, what's going on with Jaguar? Are they trying to Bud Light themselves? Like, have these companies not learned? More and more companies are walking away from the DEI nonsense. More and more of them have announced that they're pulling back. And this guy, Robbie Starbuck on X, has done a great job of this, of going after these companies, John Deere and others, and highlighting their nonsense. And then the companies have begun pulling back and saying, we don't want any part of this anymore. And it's working. That's the trend. The trend is to move away from this DEI nonsense. The trend is not to go there. Matt, do you have the guy, the spokesperson, by chance?
I'm still looking for it.
I believe you had it on yesterday's show sheet, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think it was. I think it was a loose clip yesterday, and now I've lost it. I'll find it. Give me like 2 more minutes.
All right. In the meantime, let me play for you the new Volvo ad. And what I'll do is I'll kind of narrate that for you. This is Volvo's beautiful ad, and I think this is great. It begins with a man and his wife realizing that she's pregnant. Take a listen.
Hey.
Hey. Okay.
Hey, love.
Hey, Mom.
How are you guys? How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. But we've actually got something to tell you. Kate's pregnant.
Oh, hang on. Richard.
You're going to be a grandma.
Oh, my God. That is
amazing. I'm scared, Mom.
Why are you scared?
About it all, you know. The nights, the responsibility. I'm going to need a bigger place.
Help with all that.
I know. Bless you. You're so sweet. I've got this feeling that we're going to have a daughter. Just as stubborn as her mum.
Oh, hopefully not. The family's large.
Now that's a legacy she might have to live with. She might be the reason we're tired or not.
What if I don't do good in class?
I just want to say and do the right things, you know? See the world with her. Also be happy staying home, doing nothing, letting her be a kid.
Are you awake?
Thank you.
I want to see her fall in love. But I also know what that means.
What happened?
And I know she's going to bend the rules just like I did. One day, I'll have to let her go.
It's gonna be hot every single day.
I'm excited to hear what she learns about the world, herself. What she adores. What she hates. I hope she likes the name we give her. It all depends.
Now, let me narrate this part. So, a woman's driving and slams on the brakes. Just kind of pause it for me for a second, if you could. Pause the video. Slams on the brakes, right? And then the words come on the screen. Sometimes the moments that never happen matter the most, right? So the woman who's pregnant is crossing the street. And this other woman's distracted as she's driving. She's like looking at her phone or whatever. And the woman's walking on the street. The woman who's pregnant. Guy's going through his whole life with his daughter, thinking about the daughter, thinking about how she's going to grow up, thinking about what life's going to be like, the challenges of being a father, the challenges of her life, her heartbreak, her wedding, giving her up one day. You know what I mean? All of it. Like, it's beautiful. But then you see the mom, the pregnant mom, crossing the street. And this car almost, like, so then it says, sometimes the moments that never happen matter the most. Okay, now pick it up, please. It shows the guy in the hospital room next to his wife. You hear sirens. And you're wondering, was she killed by a car? Like, was the mom killed by a car and this little girl's life is never going to happen? And he walks into the hospital room and she's holding the baby in her arms. It's a 3-minute ad, but it's beautifully done. It's beautifully done. And then it says, meet the new Volvo EX90. And you see the mom standing there in front of the car, designed to be the safest Volvo car ever made, as she walks through the crosswalk because the Volvo stopped automatically and didn't kill her and, you know, her unborn child. And it's beautiful. And it's family. And it also is life affirming. I mean, it's great. Now, I want to so then you saw the Volvo ad, which is all these Jaguar ad, which is all these androgynous models. So Volvo gets it. But here's the guy who is the corporate strategy guy for Jaguar. And this is exactly what I mean. This is that woman from Bud Light who came out and didn't like all of the people that drank their beer and everything. Jaguar had a problem in that they thought that the people that drove it were a bunch of rich white dudes. So to get away from that, because they didn't like their target audience anymore, they decided that they were going to roll out all these trans models, androgynous models. Now, the point that I made on Twitter was I drive a Volvo, as you know, and I've never had any transmission issues with it. But Jaguar's going all in. So here's the new head of brand strategy at Jaguar explaining everything. Take a listen.
And at Jaguar, we are passionate about our people. and we're committed to fostering a diverse, inclusive, and unified culture that is representative not only of the people who use our products, but in a society in which we all live, a culture where our employees can bring their authentic selves to work. And we're on a transformative journey of our own, driven by a belief in diversity, inclusion, creativity, policy, and most importantly, action. We've established over 15 DEI groups, such as Pride, who are here tonight in the back. Thank you guys for coming. Women in Engineering and Neurodiversity Matters. We've launched major policy revisions, such as transitioning at work, to drive equity
and support. Stop. Transitioning at work. Transitioning at work at Jaguar. Look, we're just trying. I mean, I'm just happy to get coffee at work. I really am. And I hope Odyssey doesn't take it away. I'm just happy that I can get an Americano. I don't need to transition into anything else. But that's they're going to have transitioning at work. No, really, at our company, they don't have much. We have tasty cake, which is wonderful. And we also have coffee. But, yeah, transitioning at work. So you see, this is these woke companies. And again, they don't get it. They don't get it. Like, Volvo gets it. I know that ad was long and people on Twitter and YouTube were making jokes like, what would I do? I just thought it was a beautifully well done, but a very important and impactful, you know, story of family and life and children and everything. And contrast that with Jaguar. And I just thought, man, but this is corporate America. The question is going to be this. Do these brands decide, now that Trump crushed it in the polls, that America resoundingly rejected woke? Are these companies going to wake up and realize what a marketplace there is for you and for me and for everybody else? Hollywood's another great example. We've talked about that a lot on the show. Is Hollywood going to figure this out? How many millions of us out there don't want to be lectured to, don't want woke nonsense? The Jaguar commercial didn't even show a car in their entire 30-second ad. And by the way, that guy, the brand manager for Jaguar, you can see through his shirt. He's wearing like a mesh shirt as he's standing there wearing a blazer and a mesh shirt. And he talks about transitioning at work and everything else that they're offering for their people. So, see, I mean, this is funny. Will we see companies and movies and TV shows that understand that we don't want woke and we don't want to be lectured to? And that's the question. Because I think this is a great opportunity for corporate America. I think it's a great opportunity for Hollywood. It's a great opportunity for TV producers, writers, screenwriters. I really do. It's an incredible opportunity. You've now seen that 80 million Americans voted to reject woke, reject DEI and all the nonsense. They said no. They didn't want it. Didn't want it. And they were tired of it. You know, this guy, this comedian, Andrew Schultz, who's very funny. I like his podcast a lot. He's a very funny guy. He's offensive in a lot of different ways. But he was making this point about how Democrats are, they're the ones who are, in this current age right now, they're offended by everything. They have no fun, and they walk around all the time with a chip on their shoulder, and they're constantly calling people names and belittling them and putting them down. Like, for example, somebody today on Twitter made the comment about how the uneducated elected Donald Trump. The poorly educated. And I said, yeah. And also those misogynistic Latin men and all those racist, sexist black men, too. The left keeps putting people down and mocking people, and they keep embracing this DEI woke nonsense, and they don't get it and they don't learn from it. And I think Jaguar's making a mistake. I think Jaguar will pay the price for this. I think Volvo's going to do quite well because of this ad. I think there's people who are yearning for brands and movies and TV shows that speak to them, that give them something, even if it's nothing more than just not lecturing them. You know what I mean? Even if it's just not lecturing them and just letting them be. That would just even of itself be a fundamental change when it comes to entertainment. Think about that. How many times have we watched things and just felt lectured to and felt like as if they were purposely targeting us as bad guys or bad them? Bad people. So this is a an opportunity. It could be a great awakening for them. I think Volvo figured it out and hit the nail on the head. But that brings me to my sponsor, which is Cherry Hill Volvo. And no, I didn't do this as a just like a long shameless infomercial for them. I really genuinely thought contrasting these two brands was great. In fact, somebody sent me that Volvo ad this morning, and I saw how viral this is going on social media, and I thought this is a great opportunity to talk about it. But don't go to just any Volvo dealer. Go to Cherry Hill Volvo. They're on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They are a studio sponsor. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. They are the best. Judith Krupnik, my friend, I sent her that video, that ad. She said, yeah, that's great. She's wonderful. And she supports us here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. So think about that as you think about the kind of car you want to drive. Think about the dealer that you go to. There's a lot of Volvo dealers out there, but only one that is the Talk Radio 1210 WPHD studio sponsor. So not only do I say that there are brands out there that are rejecting the nonsense, and there are brands out there that are afraid to come near us, Judith Krupnik and Cherry Hill Volvo said, I want the studio naming rights. And right now, you can lease the Volvo XC90 for $687 a month with all applicable rebates. And if you're a Costco member, it's an extra $2,000 a month on top of that. So go see them today and say hello. And just thank them for their incredible sponsorship. Because I know there are brands out there that there are people who work at companies that listen to this show, listen to the station. They're afraid to touch it. And I think they're making a mistake. I really do. I think you're making a huge mistake. I think the power of this country right now and the amount of people that say, if you're willing to stand with Trump or you're willing to stand with this radio station, you're willing to stand with me and our other hosts, yeah, there's going to be people that want to support you just for that fact. Just for that fact. And yeah, you might get blowback from a couple of lunatics on social media. Judith has had some calls at the dealership. People have left messages. But they're a small minority of people, and the brands that stop catering to these lunatics will win in the end. And there's a whole lot of us, a whole lot more of us. And that's the great American awakening that I'm talking about right now. There's a whole lot more of us than there are of them. And 80 million Americans rejected the politics of identity on November 4th or whatever election day was. It feels like a million years ago. Rejected the politics of identity. So Judith is our studio sponsor. That means a lot to me. Go see her today on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter. And maybe you want to drive the S-Class, which is made at their plant in South Carolina. American jobs. Totally get it. Beautiful, beautiful thing. All right. We got a lot to come here. It's going to be a busy show for you today. Will we get more nominees? Will the Treasury Secretary be nominated today? There's rumors floating around that could be the next nominee announced. And it could be today while we're on the air. So don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Ain't that a hole in the boat? Little Dino, turn it up. This is fantastic for a Friday. Oh!
To sleep and keep grinning. If this is just to be beginning,
my life is gonna be
Yeah.
All right, look, I feel good about things. I really do. I'm in a great mood today. I'm very happy. I am thrilled that we're heading in the right direction as a country. I really am. I'm just feeling good. I'm feeling very optimistic about things. I'm not naive, as you know. I know the battles that lie ahead. I know the battles that we're going to have to fight with the swamp and the swamp creatures that don't want to see change. Road Warrior asked a question on the YouTube chat. Who's going to be the director of OMB? I don't know. They have not announced that yet. President Trump has announced Kelly Loeffler as going to be the agriculture secretary. And there's rumors that Treasury Secretary could come out as well, as I was mentioning to you. I am excited about Doge. I'm excited about Elon Musk. I'm excited about Vivek Ramaswamy. The fact that Vivek Ramaswamy said this is going to be the Manhattan Project of our time. These guys can pull this off. It will be unbelievable. It'll be the most life-changing, country-changing thing, bigger than anything we've ever experienced in our lifetime. And that's not an overstatement. It really is not. And for a guy who's a fascist to want to decentralize the federal government, shut down departments, get rid of millions of workers, and slash as much as 80% of the size of the executive branch of government. Think about it. Trump can't do anything about Congress, and Congress isn't that big. I mean, Congress is, you know, they have a lot of staffers and committees and everything like this. But everything, when we talk about the size of government, what are we talking about? We're talking about the executive branch of government. We're talking about all the three-letter, four-letter agencies that are part of the executive branch of government. I mean, you could argue that the judiciary is too big, but I would say that's not our problem here. You know, too many federal court districts is not what we're talking about when we say drain the swamp. We're talking about bureaucrats within three-letter and four-letter agencies. Oh, wait, so you're saying DeSantis, he did pick an OMB director? Is that true?
Yesterday it was Russ Vaught, who actually was the OMB director in Trump's first term as well.
Okay. Now, Kirk is telling me that they announced the Treasury Secretary, but I'm not sure if that's... Are you seeing that on Truth Social? Kirk?
I was on thehill.com.
All right. Really? All right. Let me see here now. Let's see if this is... Okay, they haven't announced anything officially yet, so all right, we'll see. I will see if they announce something. There's some rumors swirling around about who it could be, but I don't want to say anything until it's official yet. I'm waiting for the Trump campaign to post something official about it. But tell me about the OMB guy, Matt.
Well, he was – I don't know much about him. His name's Russ Vaught. He was the OMB director in Trump's first term. He also worked at the Heritage Foundation, and I know the left is already attacking him because I guess he played some role in Project 2025. But other than that, I'm not super familiar with him.
Okay, well, that's good. So that's good that if he comes from Heritage, we like all the people from Heritage. So they tend to have a good track record. Excellent. Makes me happy. So there you go. That's a guy. That's a limited government guy. We'll get a little more information on him, and we'll share that with you at the 4 o'clock hour. And we'll see if the Treasury Secretary is actually going to be something that's announced. Yeah, I just don't know if I trust that site. That's the only thing. They've got a couple things wrong, but we'll see. All right, we'll see as the show goes on. Either way, I think there's going to be some drama this afternoon. I would definitely stay tight. I wouldn't go anywhere. That's my suggestion to you. And stream along and watch along on YouTube, youtube.com, 1210 WPHD. And a big win from our buddy Linda Kearns today in Philadelphia. A really big win with those Democrat badges. So I'm very proud of her. Excellent job there. But real quick, before we go to break, speaking of woke... Actually, you know what? Let me save this on the other side. Disney is still not learning their lesson. Disney, ABC News, Disney China, they're still not learning their lesson. And the Snow White actress, Rachel Zegler, delivered what is perhaps probably the worst apology in history. Will Hollywood learn the lesson? That's the question. We'll talk about it straight ahead.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.